Welcome to the podcast series of Middle East and Africa Textile Journal.
Thank you. Yeah, it's great to be here. You know, the most advanced, high-stakes technology transfer happening in the world right now, it isn't in microchips.
Right.
And it isn't in electric vehicle batteries either. It is actually happening right in the curtains hanging in your living room. So, welcome to the deep dive.
Glad to be here.
Today we are, well, we're basically stripping away the aesthetics of the fabrics in our homes to look at the massive, dynamically shifting global ecosystem underneath. Because today's mission is to unpack how a single trade fair, specifically the Intertextiles Shanghai Home Textiles Fair, serves as a literal crystal ball for global trade.
Yeah, it really does.
And to do this, we are pulling insights from the organizers' preview of their 2026 Autumn Edition, which, just for context, is a joint effort by Messe Frankfurt, China Council for the Promotion of International Trade, and the China Home Textile Association.
Exactly. And to kind of ground that preview in actual momentum, we are cross-referencing it with a really fascinating editorial by Benham Ghassemi.
Right, the editor-in-chief.
Yeah, editor-in-chief of Kohan Textile Journal. He analyzes the raw data and the buyer behavior from the previous 2025 edition. And you know, when you put these pieces together, you realize that a pillow on your couch is not just a static object.
Not at all.
It is a physical manifestation of intense geopolitical maneuvering, AI research, and like a complete remapping of the global supply chain.
Which is exactly why we are skipping all the basic industry fluff today.
Yeah.
I mean, we already know the global home textile market is huge.
Oh, they're massive.
Right. It is projected to hit $220.2 billion U.S. dollars by 2032.
Wow.
Growing at a compound annual rate of nearly 7%. So we know people want their homes to look nice. That's a given. But what matters is that the machinery supporting that $220 billion demand is undergoing a tectonic shift.
It really is.
Because for decades, the model was incredibly simple.
Yeah,
almost binary, really. The West handled the high-level design and branding, and China handled the mass production.
Right. But that model is officially dead. I mean, the data from the Shanghai Fair reveals a fundamental geographic rebalancing. Chinese manufacturing is moving incredibly aggressively up the value chain.
Yeah, they aren't just making this stuff anymore.
Exactly. They are pouring billions into design, advanced materials, and ecological research and development. They basically have no interest in just being the world's factory floor anymore.
Right.
They are positioning themselves as the global innovation lab.
It's, you know, it's so much like the tech industry transition.
Oh, that's a good comparison.
Because for years, China was the factory floor, assembling the physical hardware of our phones and computers,
yep.
Right? But now in the textile space, they're essentially becoming Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
They're writing the operating system for home fabrics, focusing heavily on artificial intelligence and eco R&D, while outsourcing the physical assembly, the actual sewing and weaving, to emerging markets.
Right, places across South Asia, Southeast Asia, and Latin America. And that tech analogy is perfect, actually, because it highlights the immediate logistical nightmare this transition creates.
Oh, for sure.
Because when you separate the software of R&D from the hardware of manufacturing across entirely different continents, you create a massive gap. I mean, you can't just email a highly complex AI-generated eco-fabric design to a new facility halfway across the world and expect it to work flawlessly.
No, of course not. You need a physical nexus point.
Exactly. A place where these new high-level Chinese design capabilities can actually physically intersect with the changing geographic sourcing demands.
And that is exactly what Intertextile Shanghai has become.
Mm-hmm.
It's the room where the new innovators shake hands with the new producers. But, I mean, China can't just hand off this massive manufacturing burden blindly.
Right.
They need to know who is actually capable of taking it on and who has the infrastructure to scale. So if you want to see who is stepping up to the plate, you just have to look at the floor data from that 2025 exhibition.
And the sheer volume there is telling. The 2025 Autumn Edition, they pulled in over 35,000 trade buyers.
That's huge.
It is. It's a nearly 56% increase in overseas visitors just from the previous cycle. And they hosted almost 900 exhibitors from 26 different countries.
Wow.
But honestly, the total number matters a lot less than the origin of those attendees. We saw 19 highly organized buyer delegations arriving from 23 countries.
Yeah, and reading through that Kohan Textile Journal analysis, the geographic concentration is really striking. I mean, the heavy hitters were delegations from Uganda, Ethiopia, and across the Middle East.
Yeah, absolutely.
Plus, we saw this massive influx of new overseas exhibitors setting up shop from places like Bulgaria, Indonesia, Iran, Malaysia, and Vietnam.
Right.
Turkey commanded an entire dedicated pavilion, while Iran and Egypt debuted as independent exhibitors.
It is literally a complete redrawing of the textile map.
But wait, let me challenge the premise here for a second. Because it is one thing to show up, right? It is another thing to have actual leverage. Are these delegations from Uganda, Ethiopia, and the Middle East actually dictating terms? Or are they just showing up with massive checkbooks to buy whatever China and Europe have already decided is going to be trendy for the next 2 years?
See, that is the crucial distinction, and the editorial addresses this shift directly. They are absolutely not passive consumers. The Middle East and Africa are rapidly transitioning into active trend shapers.
Interesting.
And they are doing it through sheer economic momentum. I mean, think about what is happening in those regions right now. We are seeing unprecedented rapid urbanization. Entirely new cities are being built from the ground up.
Right, like the massive projects in Saudi Arabia or the UAE.
Exactly. There are these massive multi-billion dollar investments going into the hotel and luxury hospitality sectors alongside a really fast surging middle class.
So the demand isn't just higher volume. It's a completely different kind of demand.
Precisely. Right. Because when a developer is building, say, a 500-room luxury hotel in a newly urbanized center in the Middle East, they aren't just flipping through a catalog for generic Parisian trends.
Right. That wouldn't make sense.
No, they require highly specific innovations. They need fabrics that are adapted to extreme climates. They need materials that integrate seamlessly with regional cultural aesthetics. And furthermore, they are looking for global partnerships to expand their own local textile industries.
Ah, I see.
So when these delegations walk onto the floor in Shanghai, they are leveraging their massive purchasing power to tell the global R&D labs, look, this is the physical reality of our region, and you need to engineer solutions specifically for it.
But, you know, as these emerging markets build up their local production power to meet this demand, they immediately hit a brick wall. And that wall is the environment.
Oh, yeah. The environmental limits are completely unforgiving.
Right, because you cannot ramp up a massive industrial-scale textile sector in the Middle East or Africa using 20th century methods without utterly destroying your local ecosystem.
You really can't. We are talking about regions facing incredibly severe water scarcity, and the traditional textile dyeing and finishing processes, well, they require astronomical amounts of water.
It's notorious for that.
Yeah, it is one of the most water-intensive industries on the planet. Add to that the broader resource efficiency challenges, the crazy energy costs, and the chemical runoff. It's a huge problem.
And this is where the narrative of the Shanghai Fair gets really technical, because it is actively structuring the solution through what they call South-South collaboration.
Yes, exactly.
This is the framework where emerging economies from the global South basically bypass the traditional reliance on Western technologies, and they partner directly with China for knowledge exchange. The 2026 preview highlights specific engines for this, right? Like the Ecology Forum, which is this deliberate merging of economy and ecology and the future and textile zone.
And importantly, those zones are not hosting generic feel-good sustainability panels.
No greenwashing here.
Right. They are dissecting systemic overhauls. They are focusing on how to build closed-loop recycling systems in a newly commissioned factory in Ethiopia, for instance, mm-hmm. and how to utilize eco-friendly fibers that don't compromise on durability. But most importantly, they are really diving into AI-driven design.
Okay, let's actually unpack that for a second.
Yeah.
Because throwing the term AI around is super easy right now. But how does an algorithm actually save water in a physical factory?
That's a great question, because it fundamentally changes the entire development cycle. So traditionally, if a factory wants to match a specific color on a new type of ecofiber, it requires a lot of physical trial and error.
Like actually mixing the dyes.
Exactly. They mix a massive mat of water, dye, and chemicals, run the fabric through, and then just see how it holds up. If the color is off or the fabric degrades, they have to dump all that water, tweak the chemicals, and try again.
Wow.
Yeah. It can take dozens of massive water-wasting batches just to finalize one single fabric line.
So the AI essentially acts as a simulation engine.
Exactly. Advanced predictive algorithms can now simulate the actual molecular absorption of dyes. So the AI models exactly how a specific natural fiber will react to a specific chemical dye at a certain temperature.
That's incredible.
It is. It computes the exact recipe needed before a single drop of water is even used. So a factory in a water-scarce region can eliminate 80% of those physical pest batches. That drastically reduces their water footprint and their chemical waste.
You know, it reminds me of the telecom boom in emerging markets.
Oh, how so?
Well, decades ago, certain countries in Africa and Asia, they didn't bother spending billions of dollars in a decade of labor to lay down copper wire for landline telephones, right?
Right, they just skipped it.
Exactly. They completely skipped that phase of infrastructure and leapfrogged directly into mobile cellular towers and smartphones. And what we're seeing here is basically the textile equivalent of that leapfrog.
Yeah, that's a brilliant way to look at it.
These emerging markets aren't going to repeat the polluting, resource-draining mistakes of the 1990s textile boom. They are attempting to jump straight into AI-modeled circular ecosystems.
And we have to remember that leapfrog is not driven by altruism.
No, it's business.
Exactly. Operating sustainably in these regions is a brutal economic necessity. If you are running a water-heavy production model in a region where water rights are contested or just incredibly expensive, your overhead will bankrupt you.
Absolutely.
Furthermore, this is a globally integrated supply chain. If an emerging manufacturer in Uganda wants to sell into the European or North American markets, they have to meet incredibly strict, legally binding environmental compliance standards. If your factory isn't green from day one, you are entirely locked out of the West.
You literally cannot afford to build an old school factory.
You can't. Which really reinforces why that South-South cooperation is the beating heart of the Shanghai event. Because China has spent the last decade going through the incredibly painful, expensive process of upgrading its own environmental technology and manufacturing.
They already took the hit.
Right. They've already built the AI models and the water filtration tech. So now they are exporting that hard-won knowledge to their new partners in the Middle East and Africa. It accelerates global sustainability by decades, honestly.
I mean, we have spent a lot of time on the macro level today. The $220 billion valuation, the geographic shift of manufacturing, the high-stakes diplomacy of water conservation.
We have.
But eventually, all of this geopolitical maneuvering and AI molecular modeling, it has to result in a physical product.
Yes.
It has to turn into a piece of fabric that a consumer actually touches and decides to put in their home.
And translating those abstract geopolitical shifts into physical, tactile products is the specific mandate of the 2026 Autumn Editions Trend Forum. And they aren't leaving it to chance at all. They're bringing in the Nelly Rohde Agency to lead it.
And for you listening, if you're unfamiliar, Nelly Rohde isn't just a design firm. They are essentially the gold standard for forecasting global consumer behavior.
Oh, absolutely.
They look at the psychological state of the global consumer and figure out exactly what kinds of materials they are going to crave. And what is fascinating about this year's execution is that it is not just going to be some sterile display of fabric swatches pinned to a corkboard.
No, the organizers are building a fully immersive, lifestyle-driven experience. And crucially, it is being designed by a joint team of Chinese and overseas designers. So you are seeing that East-West bridge happening in real time. They're curating color ranges and textures and then linking them directly to exhibitor products to spark immediate business development.
And when you look at the standout innovations making it to the floor, you can immediately see how the macro trends we just discussed are paying off. I mean, we are seeing incredibly specialized textures.
Yeah, the textures are wild this year.
Right. There is a huge push for soft chenille fabrics designed to offer a cloud-like touch. And that is sitting right alongside these coarse linen textures, engineered to mimic the raw, unrefined aesthetics of nature.
And that polarization in texture is a direct response to consumer psychology. Because in a world that is increasingly digitized, fast-paced, and just technologically overwhelming, consumers are demanding physical environments that offer extreme tactile comfort, like the soft chenille, or a grounding connection to the natural world, which you get from the coarse linen.
But, you know, the product that truly encapsulates everything we have talked about today is the new wave of anti-dust curtains equipped with advanced anti-static technology.
Oh, I love this example.
Right, because at first glance, you might just think, oh, great, I don't have to vacuum my drapes as often.
Sure.
But tie that back to what we discussed earlier about the Middle East and Africa. If you are building a luxury hospitality suite in a rapidly urbanizing, expanding city that naturally deals with high levels of environmental dust, an anti-dust curtain isn't a neat novelty.
Not at all.
It is a massive reduction in operational cleaning costs. It is a direct, practical application of high-tech R&D solving a highly specific regional challenge.
It perfectly distills the utility of the trade fair. When buyers attend the 2026 edition, they will be assessing these highly engineered innovations across every key category, you know, upholstery, sofa fabrics, sun protection, bedding, carpets, and flooring. The fair allows them to compare the performance data and the sustainability claims side by side in real time.
And the global industry definitely recognizes this efficiency. We are seeing major international associations bringing their regional strengths directly to the floor.
Yeah, a lot of heavy hitters.
Organizations like the Home from Portugal Association, the Home Textile Export Council from Egypt, and the Nippon Interior Association from Japan, they're all deeply involved.
Because it condenses the entire global supply chain adjustment into a single room. It provides a direct route from trend to business. I mean, think about it. If you are a brand trying to optimize your portfolio to meet the demand for sustainable, anti-static materials, you not have to fly to Paris for the design, and then Beijing for the tech, and then Addis Ababa for the manufacturing.
No, that would be a nightmare.
Right. You just go to Shanghai. You observe the consumer trend forecasted by Nelly Rody. You integrate the Chinese AI water-saving technology. And you finalize a contract with a sustainable manufacturer from an emerging market right there on the floor.
It is the entire $220 billion puzzle assembled right in front of you.
Exactly.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, I want to leave you with a bit of a shift in perspective. The next time you are shopping for a seemingly simple area rug or a set of curtains, remember what you are actually holding. You are holding the final physical output of a dynamically shifting global machine.
Beautifully said.
Woven into that fabric is the outcome of Chinese AI research, the specific environmental demands of Ethiopian biodelegations, and the hard-won results of a massive South-South sustainability effort.
It really strips away the illusion that our domestic spaces are isolated from global currents, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. And if you want to track these regional shifts further, especially how the Middle East and Africa are evolving from consumers to industry architects, Kohan Textile Journal and MNAcovering.com offer phenomenal in-depth coverage of these markets.
Highly recommend checking those out. And, you know, if we look at the trajectory we've mapped out today, from basic weaving to AI-modeled ecofibers and anti-static materials, I really want you to consider where this inevitably leads.
Right. What's next?
Exactly. If our fabrics can already repel dust and model their own chemical footprints, how long until home textiles cross the threshold into active health devices? Mm. I mean, are we 5 years away from living room curtains that are smart enough to actively filter and purify the air in our homes?
Yeah.
Will the very definition of home aesthetics shift from creating spaces that just look beautiful to engineering environments that actively improve our physical respiratory health?
Think about that the next time you walk past that completely ordinary piece of fabric hanging in your window. Because it might just be the quietest, most advanced piece of technology in your entire house. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.